Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy. Excited to finally talk about a game where you can be V.
Initials.
Yes.
That's Ben's initials.
Yes.
Well, my favorite weapon to be using in Cyberpunk 2077
is the dildo.
The MP5. Yeah.
Every time a character says
something, my name's Adam.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Every time a character says something to you in the game and addresses you by V, are you sitting there responding and going, please call me Ben? No need to be so formal.
Yes. No, you dropped the B, so that's, you know.
I thought this isn't a spoiler for the game.
Yeah.
But this, I think, could be... Should we just start talking about Cyberpunk first or do the Game Awards?
Let's do Game Awards.
There's one thing before I forget.
Okay.
Because I thought the name V was like a futuristic, cyberpunky, cool name.
Yes.
And then there's a scene
where
someone goes... All right, Victor. And he's like, please, only my friends get to call me by my full name.
Yeah, my father's name was Victor.
Please just call me V, a normal nickname.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just talk about the Game Awards for an hour because I feel like that little snippet sums up the entire game.
That's my whole experience with Cyberpunk is like, oh, this thing looks like it's cool. Oh, it's that? Oh.
That's the game in a nutshell. Yeah,
right.
I wish it stayed as superficial as everyone was saying it was.
Yeah.
Right. Oh boy, but the Game Awards happened just a few short days ago. Typically a lot of big announcements, a lot of big award winners.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Last of Us 2.
Yep.
You love to see the underdog walk away with the title. And very satisfying. Very satisfying win.
I forgot that there were even the awards at the thing. Like
right.
That. Yeah.
It's E3 is completely obsolete now, right? The Game Awards is E3 and... some awards, I guess.
So because everyone's just sort of doing their own thing with that stuff now. Everyone just puts out their own little videos on the internet. Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo all do it now.
Totally.
So E3 is definitely gone.
And the Game Awards is now, bizarrely, despite the fact that E3 is obsolete, the thing that everyone does watch. Like we all... Well, I watched a bit of it live. You watched most of it live, Nox?
I think I struggled through all of it.
Yeah.
It was long.
Yeah.
And like the actual announcements that were there weren't that interesting.
Yes.
To be honest.
They were last year though. I feel like it has been really interesting.
There has
before.
Been some great ones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird year. Like it makes sense that a lot of people would be like, oh shit, let's put all our stuff back for longer because holy fuck.
Yeah.
No one wants to say this is coming out next year and then not know what the future holds and everything.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
I feel like we've said this in the past, but it is very funny that they've combined award show and announcements spectacular.
Mm.
Like if the Oscars just had trailers
littered
all the way through it.
Yeah.
I feel like we say this every year, but it is worth repeating because it is just a very bizarre thing to go, this is what award shows are. Like,
well,
not really.
If the Oscars did drop surprise trailers, more people would watch the Oscars.
For sure. Right, and also the other weird thing about the Game Awards is that they even differentiate between which of these trailers they consider to be ads and which they consider to be like, oh, exclusive fun. This is trailers. Right. This is a...
World
they're
premieres.
All ads. It's all ads.
It's all ads.
The whole thing
Even the awards are ads. That is, I guess, the thing about the Oscars is like it's an ad for the movie industry.
Yeah. If you didn't get around to this, it's like, well, now it's been voted the best. So maybe get off your little fanny and download Last of Us 2.
But yeah, the announcements that they did have... A couple of them were just holding patterns. The BioWare ones specifically, there was two, right? There was Mass Effect and Dragon Age 4?
So Dragon Age, it said Dragon Age.
Right.
Like, I guess it'll have a subtitle at some point. Mm. But yeah, just a little bit of CG for that and for the idea of a new Mass Effect game, which they'd already mentioned in their thing saying that the... remastered trilogy thing was coming out. They were like, and we're working on another Mass Effect.
Yep.
And then again here, they were like, see, there's an Asari.
Yeah.
Remember them.
Yeah.
So, and I think they like kind of went, sorry about Andromeda at some point during that
right.
announcement.
Oh, well, because I think they clarified, I've forgotten the entire content of it except, yeah, the Asari, that it's going to be in the Milky Way. It's not in the Andromeda yeah. galaxy.
She
yeah.
brushed, I think it was Liara, and right. she brushed off some snow off of a thing that had that N7 logo.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, I think it's right. a sequel to Mass Effect, which is what people... crazily enough mm. always wanted from a Mass Effect game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to predict it
mm.
that this series they made, that the whole point of it is that it was all interlinked in this one little world or big world. But yeah, anyway, so those were two things. Should
yes.
we go through what got announced? I've got a little list here.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was the first thing that was announced was the Sephiroth stuff, right?
Maybe. I think Perfect Dark was maybe before that.
Or maybe I just missed the start then. The yeah. first thing I saw when I opened my eyes in the morning.
When the day began at 11:30 a.m. for everybody. Yes.
The first thing you see in the Star Wars trilogy is Yoda.
Yes.
I tuned in halfway through the third one.
Yeah, I worked in the cinema and I just walked through one of the sessions one day. Darth Vader's dying.
Whoa.
Crazy
way to
start
kick it off.
Yeah.
General, again, CG trailer for Perfect Dark
right.
that used the phrase eco-sci-fi, I believe.
Oh.
Which is, so it's to do with...
the game Eco, right? It's
yeah,
a sci-fi
right.
take on Eco.
Yeah.
The dolphin?
Yes.
Well, everyone's got their own little thing for what that could mean. That's very fun. I'll... ecological is my take, which
okay.
is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, interesting. That's a yep. weird one, honestly.
So they talked about how, like, yeah, this is about the world dying. I'm like,
right.
Oh, fun. Weird for Perfect Dark. And so
this is a game that you guys both really liked, right?
The original
the
one.
Day,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've never gone back to it, but I remember the hype for it at the time being off the chain as the
weird for a video game to be really, really, really hyped.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
it didn't run that well. As well.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay. And did people send death threats to Nintendo? Or?
I think we were about 15 years prior to when that started happening in earnest.
Mm. Sure, it did happen in some capacity. You know, we
but
just,
you had to take
just,
the trouble to get a letter. I guess that
yeah,
email
exactly.
existed in the
yeah.
year 2000.
Someone would have written and, you know, someone would have sent a death threat into Nintendo Power magazine
sure.
for not rating it high enough. I'm sure,
yeah.
they, I'm sure
it only got 101% in your fucking Nintendo 64 magazine.
God.
I remember they gave it that and I was like, even at the age of 10 or something, I was like, that's ridiculous.
That's an ad.
Yeah.
This is an ad.
I remember Turok 2 getting a perfect score.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, and I think that's maybe why they then had to go for 101% for Perfect Dark because they were like, oh wow, we like this more than Turok 2.
Yeah.
What are we meant to do? We've already given that a perfect score.
It's really, really dumb. And this is kind of nothing to do with it, honestly, because
right.
it's a studio that Microsoft made of people from all different studios. They got like a super group together is the idea, called The Initiative. And I think this is like a reboot pretty much.
Right. But the idea that there's still kind of this lingering, you know, fandom for that franchise seems a little misguided because there was a sequel that on the Xbox that was not too hot,
yeah.
I believe.
That was like a launch game for the 360.
Right.
And I didn't like it, I remember, but I don't remember too many details about it. I think it's just a cool-sounding name.
Yeah.
Right.
Too.
It
is.
If
it's
you
good
can
branding.
Acquire that name, Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh.
It intrigues
me. What's that
me.
About? Is that eco sci-fi?
Yes.
It's very modern. HDR, you know, ray tracing. These
QLED
pixels. We really are living in the age of Perfect Dark.
Mm.
Yeah, take the name and make it about a guy buying a new TV.
Yes.
I want the blacks to be as black as
we
possible.
We can contribute a lot of writing for this. We've got a lot. We've got a history of buying TVs on this show.
Make it an indie. It's
none
just
of
a
us have
OLEDs. Simulator where you go to JB Hi-Fi and just chat to the guy about what you want.
They said Master Chief is going to be in Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
And then a lot of the announcements were on that sort of level.
Yeah.
Just right. like,
yeah.
season one of fucking Black Ops Cold War is coming. Like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I can't believe that they're doing...
Yes.
That's amazing. Like a cyberpunk car in Forza,
right.
flight simulator coming to the Xbox, which we already knew.
That's a funny announcement. Hey, this game that came out today,
yes.
guess what? You can use one of the cars from it in another game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm still downloading the day one patch.
Yeah.
I haven't fired it up yet.
This might be the only way I can see this car properly. The textures are actually loading in Forza.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This car's coming out 3 months before the day one patch, essentially.
Yep.
Dragon Age, Mass Effect. Yeah, Sephiroth is a new character in Smash Brothers. Fine.
Pretty cool.
Ghosts and Goblins thing. Some look at Nier Replicant.
Oh, yeah.
Which looked really good to me. I loved Automata, and that's a remake of the first one that came out.
Right.
And I think that's out in April. There you go. I mean, you could get a lot of this on other places in the internet too, a lot of this information.
No, we're breaking this stuff.
You could specifically go to the website that I'm reading from, Eurogamer.
But yeah, no big, nothing too big and exciting.
Well, no, because a lot of it was either known or is so far away that it seems like it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And in the case of a thing like, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, it's like, oh, that's cool. I bet it's not great when it comes out.
Yeah. It didn't look very good. Yeah. The graphics, the style of them looked really shitty to me.
Right, that's the cartoony sort of, yeah.
Something called the Callisto Protocol, which is from the people who made Dead Space and look like Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
A new Left 4 Dead game basically called Back 4 Blood,
mm-hmm.
Made by the same people. New Elder Scrolls Online stuff.
Oh, yeah. Morrowind already exists.
It's some bullshit.
Oh, it's Oblivion stuff, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, that sounds right.
Yep.
And then as I was settling into like the idea of, well, okay, it looks like nothing's going to really surprise me with this.
Mm-hmm.
We're just spinning the wheels. Who pops up?
Mm-hmm.
But Vinathy Diesel out of nowhere and genuinely made me laugh quite hard.
Yep.
Just his face in any context other than a Fast and Furious movie looks ridiculous.
Yes.
Him dressed up for... So it turned out to be Ark 2, which is a shame.
Yep.
Not a shame. Maybe Ark's good, but I just don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And he looks fucking ridiculous as like a cyber caveman.
Nothing but respect for my V, Mr. V.
Yeah.
D.
I'm into the V8s that he drives and not so much the V boars that he rides. I can't think. Velociraptor. Dinosaurs. Oh, I've got dinosaurs.
I'm more of a fan of Vin Unleaded. You know, a bit humbler, keeps it a bit more real, more for the average guy like me.
If you can't afford Vin Diesel, Vin LPG is actually way cheaper. You can get him in
You've got to convert your car to V.
Totally. Yeah. But you can get a Switch usually to go between the two.
I did like V Boars, Knox. I think you should have stuck with V Boars as the thing he rides.
Don't lie to me. They're doing like an Ark animated series that has like
very
expensive
cast.
Looking cast.
Yeah.
Some Warhammer game that everyone knew about. Yeah. Something called Open Roads that's like an Annapurna published thing that looked...
It's Gone Home, people.
Right.
Yeah.
Fulbright. Yeah. True. Yeah. Okay, and Tacoma. I liked both of them.
Yes.
And I like Annapurna. They put out good stuff.
The style of this trailer looked really cool too. The characters were like 2D animated and running at that frame rate, and then the background was all 3D.
That's right, yeah.
Looked really nice.
Yeah.
Something called Season, which looked kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the people who developed it, but it looked... Do you remember this one?
The style is great, yeah.
They had a jacket tied around their neck.
Oh, yeah.
Riding a bike around.
Mm.
But again, like, it's the sort of thing where there's not really a huge amount of actual information in this presentation, at least. Maybe it's available out there.
Oh, there was
not giving it to you.
There was a bit more... There was gameplay, I feel like, from the next game from the A Way Out guy.
Yeah.
It Takes Two, the two-player co-op thing.
That actually looked kind of cool.
Yeah, that looked fun.
Another co-op thing. It's about like a broken-down relationship that these people are being forced to mend in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
We'll probably end up playing that at some point.
Yeah.
Well, two of us will.
Yeah,
the other one can watch. Could you make a version of this about thruples? This actually is...
Why not a polyamory video game? Couch cop polyamory game.
Yeah, that's every video game, really. Disco Elysium's getting a free upgrade to being called the Final Cut, and they're putting voice acting in for every line in the game.
That's crazy.
Extra stuff in there as well. Yeah. I'm very happy that I've held out on that game.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. That's... Because there is a lot of lines in the game.
It kind of feels like it'll be, for us, like coming to it late, that, you know, sort of like we all held out to play Kentucky Route Zero. Mm. And so we kind of got to do it all as like the complete package.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, if you're going to play Cyberpunk in a year, maybe that's the experience.
Right.
Some other little bits and pieces. A Swedish chef showed up and was like, oh, God, get out of here. But
overcooked, right?
Yeah. So
I have the same experience with the Game Awards every year for one reason or another where I'm not watching it. I'm in the car.
Yep.
And my only experience with it, unless I hear that there's, you know, something got announced that I want to go back and then watch the trailer for. But for the actual show itself, my only experience of it is you guys talking about it with each other in our group chat.
Yes.
And, you know, you're both watching it. So you're just commenting in a vague way about things that are happening. And I honestly kind of prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Like just seeing a message from you, Vin Diesel made me laugh so much. Like, yeah. What the fuck's going on in this show?
Yeah. And then it's a weird show because it kind of isn't fun to watch.
Right.
Because it always seems like everyone there is so nervous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's live, it's broadcast, especially this year, it must have been so hard to put together. Feeling makes me tense.
Totally, yeah. I guess that's the difference with performance-based arts awards shows. It's like, well, Tom Hanks doesn't look nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not nervous. He's
done
this before.
That would be a good bit, though. Like, yeah. Getting up and, like, shaking as you're presenting the award for best drama.
Well, and then the problem is when they... Because they had, like, Brie Larson and Keanu Reeves and I think a couple of other, like...
John David Washington from Tenet did one.
He showed up and they all look baffled. Like, they obviously all know what video games are. John David Washington more so was like, and Chris Nolan was there too. And he was like, it's incredible that video games can tell a story. And it's like, it's incredible that you can, mate. We've all seen Tenet. I haven't, but I've heard. And I wanted to get the joke in.
We've all read takes about Tenet.
All seen Tenet tweets and gone, I guess I'll watch it when it's on TV.
We feel like we know what it is in spite of having not seen it.
Yeah.
I've formed my opinion on it and then I'll go backwards to watching it.
Like Memento.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, just that, and it's so long.
Yes.
And there's so many fucking things in it that you don't care about. And
are we
spend heaps
talking
of time
about
on.
Tenet still?
This is the game.
Nuclear.
It wasn't enjoyable to watch really this year.
I think there's less personality. Like, I don't really know who games developers are, so it just makes it a little less engaging. But I mean, it's good that they are getting out there and people are learning who these people are that make this stuff. The same that we know who Christopher Nolan is, but currently, for me, I don't care as much.
And it's cool. Like, I think also, like, the fact that you're on Zoom and having to do an acceptance speech over Zoom when you've just found out that you've won, and it, like, it's crazy that it even worked.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the Among Us people won a bunch of stuff, and they seem very excited about that, which is cool for them.
Cool. Yeah.
And, you know, it's good for everybody involved. Just, like, watching Eddie Vedder play the song from The Last of Us and be like, yeah, man, The Last of Us was really cool. That's weird, Eddie. Yeah. I don't know.
I also think, too, like, all art is subjective, but it seems kind of harder to give a shit about a game winning best game than it does a movie winning best picture.
Mm.
Does that matter? It's like, oh, yeah, The Last of Us is the best. It's like, all right, wow, The Last of Us beat out Animal Crossing.
Right.
Like,
right. They're at such different levels of production and different types of
which I guess is kind of true of movies too, but for some reason, like, Parasite winning, you could feel like, wow, yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Mm.
But I guess on the scale of, like, best game, they generally are all these big studio games that are that are made with as much behind them as each other. So,
and if it's like, because I think Hades was nominated, and if that won, I think, like, heaps of people would have been really psyched because it was like this sort of underdog. But at the same time, I would have been like, well, it didn't have the same scope and the writing. Like, it had good writing, it had all this good stuff. But yeah, when I would compare it to something like The Last of Us 2, I don't see how you can. It's not on the same scale almost.
It's kind of weird when with video games, it's a problem in general with reviewing them, especially where there are, and we'll get to this, technical elements of a game that can really impact how good you think it is.
Totally, yeah.
Where that just tends to not be the case with movies because they're all, you know, pretty, like,
if every,
obviously there's a lot of CGI and there's big budgets for bigger movies, but it doesn't make a difference to the experience of watching it.
Yeah.
But the experience of playing a game can be vastly different. purely based on the amount of money and technical ability they were able to pump into it.
Well, if you had to bring your own chair to the cinema,
right,
and if the filmmakers had to build their own camera to make the movie.
And if they were like, hey, there's some screens this will not look good on.
Yeah.
If you go to a certain type of cinema from 7 years ago that we advertised this is fine on, it just will look like a shithouse movie.
Yeah. If you go to a drive-in in the rain, you're going to have a fucking bad time with this one.
Also, this chain of cinemas, the projector doesn't work with this movie. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, sorry. But not sorry. Because we got your money and that's important.
Yeah. So, some kind of cool announcements, but nothing that interesting. Same as for most of the rest of the year with stuff that wasn't like, this is coming out now.
Totally, yeah, yes.
It does feel like the next couple of years, people are like, oh, fuck, can we put this out yet?
Yeah.
Same with like, you know, with the Xbox platform in general. There's so many games announced for it, but they're so nebulous because they're like, oh, it's going to come out at some point, but we've just got a CGI trailer that I guess your brain just almost doesn't make it real yet.
Yeah.
But that happened and we addressed it. Anything else to talk about this week?
Oh, boy. So much to say.
Yes.
So much to say about Cyberpunk 2077.
Yep, there you go. You got it.
I was about to say 2027. I'm like, it doesn't feel that far off in the future at all.
Yeah.
Well, the game the tabletop role-playing game it's based on was called Cyberpunk 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was made in the 80s.
There's a character who you interact with in 2077 who was meant to have died in 2023.
Oh.
And the 2023 looks very different to what 2023 will look like. So this world is set in that world that is like a tabletop game from decades ago.
Right. Yeah. So they already diverged from our timeline.
Exactly.
A long time ago,
2020 is already not, it's not our 57 years from now.
Yeah, yes.
Right. Yep. Right.
Not my 57 years from now. I didn't vote for this 57 years from now.
We've all been playing it for close to a week now. I am playing the PS4 version on a PS5. Mm-hmm. Ben, I believe you dipped in on the PS5 version and then have gone, I think from just talking to you over the last week, I think you've started this game about four different times now.
I have, yes, literally four, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I started on the PS5, obviously the PS4 version.
It's like you're playing it like it's a game from the 80s where when you die, you just have to go right back to the start.
Put another coin in and buy another copy for a different platform.
Yes. Well, I think I do this for role-playing games in general. I do like it, how the character looks and how it plays and how that background story stuff sets it up, impacts, you know, my enjoyment of the game a lot. So tried it, didn't like the character, didn't like how the voice matched the look, it just didn't feel right. Started again, and then the PC version finished like unpacking, because that took like 4 hours or something. And it didn't unlock for like 12 hours or something like that, or 11 hours. So, yes.
It's so funny that you played the game while you were waiting for the game to be ready to play.
Yeah.
Ordering Uber Eats while you're cooking a meal.
Yes. Yeah. But, then played on PC for, like, I think I've clocked about 15 hours.
Okay.
And then I just started a new playthrough yesterday on PS5 as the female character to see how that
went.
Right. And I've just been playing it on PC.
Right. Right.
All the stuff you mentioned about the choice and like worrying if you've made the right one, that's kind of my first issue with it. I mean, booting it up, the character customization, which for all that was said about like how deep this character creator was going to be, it's just another character creator tool. I've never been into it. You get a new game, you're excited to play it, you want to be in the world, and instead you just feel like you spend 15 minutes fucking around looking through 20 different noses.
Especially when it's pretty much entirely superfluous and aesthetic.
You're in first person mode.
You do not get to choose as well what the personality or demeanor or anything about the actual character is.
Yeah.
You are playing as a predefined, very personality led person, yeah. Like, yes, someone who very much has a tone to them.
That is the weirdest thing about it to me. Most games I can think of where you do, where you have a character creation tool, then once you're in the game, the character is a bit of a blank slate. You don't hear them talk, or you have dialogue options, but you select them as just text. You don't hear the voice. Yeah, this person has so much personality to them that all you are picking is the look, and it just and you still get dialogue options to pick, but then you're hearing them voiced in a very specific way.
Yeah,
and it just feels to me like, just design a character and just have me. You have designed a character.
Yeah.
Just create the look of them as well, and then
it feels like they fell somewhere between The Witcher 3's really good version of this, which is like a good, interesting character that you get to guide a little bit and like customize the haircut of.
Yeah.
In game. I love character customization tools.
Right.
I spent like half an hour making the first one just because I was trying every option, doing a bunch of, you know, different combos. Love doing it in RPGs. This is not a particularly robust one, though. Like this, I think I put in our chat, it's like slightly less robust than the Monster Hunter World one was. And that one, that game did have more of a blank slate character. So it was more interesting to really customize the look. But yeah, this is just an okay one. I think even like Fallout 4's one was way more, had way more customizability because you could like use the joystick or the thumbstick to like move the cheek position and like you could actually customize it. Like people have made celebrity lookalikes in Fallout 4. This, it is just a series of presets, which is pretty disappointing for a game that is called Cyberpunk.
And for all the talk about the being able to customize the genitals, which I already found a little bit cringy. Then you go in and it's like, you can pick two sizes of dick or a vagina. All right.
Like, and it really has no impact. Like a lot of the concerns from like the trans community was, how are these choices going to be treated by other characters in the game? They're not treated at all. You don't. It's never brought up or mentioned by anyone in any scene or any regard.
Which in one, I guess there's an argument to say like, good.
Yes.
But then another argument is like, why seemingly use this as a pretty vapid marketing thing, it almost seems like, rather than...
It's just very superficial. It's lip service to the idea of customization or body modification or whatever, but it doesn't...
You can't even service your lips.
Yeah.
You get preset lips.
Yes.
I want to service them.
Which feels like that's kind of my overall... kind of criticism of a lot of this, of like the having the being able to put genitals in there, is that someone just went, this would be cool,
right?
And that's it,
right?
The end. There's no deeper thought to it, there's no consideration of what that actually means and what you can actually end up doing with that. It's just pure surface level. Wouldn't it be cool if you can choose the dick size?
Now, I agree with this as it applies to the game as an open world game. I think most of the stuff in this game that is like sandboxy or like separate from the main story is like, wouldn't this be cool? Yeah, let's do it. But let's not build any systems behind it or any depth to it or any whatever. It's just like, wouldn't this be cool if we did this look, if this design looked like this, if this had lots of neon lights? Like that's most of the game.
Yep.
But the story and stuff and the missions, and I feel like the gameplay for me, again, running it on a PC that's pretty new, is great. I love it. I feel like maybe they could have leaned harder into this being an a linear sci-fi shooter. And they could have avoided a lot of the stuff that we're finding being like a puddle rather than a lake.
Because they're treating, they really do treat it like that. And like, that's my other, like, this is a matter of personal taste, like the setting up and picking a background for your character to start with. That sort of stuff always stresses me out, because exactly what you're talking about, you're in it and you can't help but feel like, what would the other one be like? Should I restart and go back? Would that be... I kind of don't like having too much choice at the very start of a game. But anyway, like,
because you don't know what the implications are going to be for the rest of it.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell.
You're always going to... And I know you generally feel kind of the same about this sort of stuff, Nox. You always... You can't help but think about what you're missing as you're playing.
Or later on, the same thing with like the Souls games. When you get into them, it's like, well, what the fuck does strength actually mean?
Right.
What am I gonna? Sure. Am I gonna get halfway through this and be like, well, none of the weapons are good with strength. Mm. I should have gone something. You know,
the
what
high
I mean?
Dexterity character. Or something. Yeah,
that sort of thing.
I kind of prefer the thing of everyone who's playing this game starts out at the same level with the same base
and branch off,
and then you're incrementally building up as you go along based on your skill level or your personal choices as it gets further and further in.
Yeah, because I agree that the main story, for the most part, does sort of shift and change a little bit in an interesting enough way.
Right.
Like, there are missions you do or don't get based on certain choices. There are people who do or don't hang around based on certain choices. Mm-hmm. And that stuff works well for what is designed as a straightforward narrative, first-person shooter, basically.
Yeah.
Like, Dishonored type of game. It's that sort of thing. It's right. like those modern Deus Ex games. It's like Dishonored. It's that game.
I think, the interaction of the systems in the game for that is really fun. Like, my character, my first main character that I'm doing has, like, significant amount of points in the hacking stuff and ranged weapons and stealth. And so my approach to missions is very flexible and can be varied, and it's a lot of sneaking and hacking and distracting people and running into a room and taking out that guy and then that guy before anyone notices. And, like, it's very satisfying to do that in a world where the setting is really appealing to me. I love cyberpunk as a genre and sci-fi in general, and this is like I'm running around in Blade Runner. Like, it's I love it. I love that pure surface level visual aesthetic, and with like a fun, pretty flexible first person RPG shooter happening inside it, I'm really enjoying it.
Right.
I think I'm nowhere near as into it as that, for sure. I think that I think that this game has some really good writing in it.
Yes, yes.
And has a very good photo mode.
Yes.
Because, like, a still image of this game looks really good.
Mm.
And I think everything else about it is really middling.
Right.
Because
you think it's not finished yet, or because...
I think there are more fundamental problems with the design of it that, like, I'm not really enjoying the shooting.
Right.
And the actual gameplay of it, because I think it's really... It's kind of broken in some ways, where like I've been just zipping through everything with a shotgun because it's so fucking easy to do.
Right.
Yeah, I've been doing the same.
Yeah.
And I did all the tutorials.
And it doesn't matter as well. If you just kill everybody in a room, there's no benefit to not doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Other than making your own thing. And it sounds like that's what you're doing, where you're kind of like, I'll create my own thing and abide by, like, role-playing, I guess.
It's exactly why I loved Fallout 4, is because, like, it was broken in a lot of ways on launch, and some of the elements of that game were very superficial, but it provided me a sandbox to role-play in, and I have played Fallout 4 for like 300 hours.
And that's just a different style of approach, I guess, because I'm just like, I'm playing it as a game where you can see the edges. I'm like, oh, well, this will be easier.
Right.
And just through, and you know?
Maybe that's what it is, because, I kind of, what you're saying about you loving doing the stealth and the hacking and everything, I did all those tutorials where it teaches you all that, and I kind of thought, I thought I had, you know, a handle on it, and I thought, okay, this is fun. This will be cool. But then, in practice, I just don't end up doing any of that stuff.
Right.
I think I get in the moment and I'm like, oh, how do you hack and do all this again? Or I think maybe it's more like that, Knox. I just don't feel like I have to do that. Like, I don't feel like I'm in any areas where I'm sort of like, okay, I can kind of see how if I sneak around here, I can take this guy out and then I can do this to that camera. It's just kind of like feels a little bit, I don't know, like clunky to do. You get noticed super quickly and it's just like, all right, whip the shoddy out and just take care of it. Like, it feels less... It feels less essential to do those things once I'm in practice, which I loved the idea of doing all that. Like, in the tutorials, I thought, wow, okay, cool, this will be really fun. But
I think with the hacking stuff especially, the game doesn't explain itself super well.
I agree with that. I while I'm enjoying it now, having played it, for like a week solid, I was very overwhelmed at the start by all of this stuff.
There's a lot of terminology that it doesn't really go to any effort to tell you what it, like, it gives you the little tutorials, but then once you're doing stuff, you get to it and it's like, what the fuck is breach protocol? There's just terms that you kind of have to fuck with and go like, oh it just does this.
I
get it now.
I think with a lot of this stuff, it's like, it's in literally the fine print. It's like, well, sure, if while you're in a mission and you can hold down tab to start scanning stuff and you highlight breach protocol, there's little writing that says, doing this will make every successive hack cheaper with the RAM.
And then you're like, well, what the fucking RAM for? Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. The RAM is magic points.
Yes.
It's like it's a sequel. It's like it's the third one in a series and it assumes that you've played. It's like, yeah, yeah, you know,
it's
you
the
get
same
it.
Thing that the yeah. first Witcher had where it's like, you've read the books, right?
Yeah, right.
Which it's that's exactly how it feels at the very, very start of this game. It's like, what are you... It does start in media res and you're like already this character who's like had a life and stuff. But... You start mid-conversation. It's really odd.
Yeah. Brings out like my biggest issues with... Because like the main story and like some of the more detailed side missions are cool when you're in them. But partly because it's like just, oh, well, this character already has a life. These people know them, sort of.
Right.
But you just get these random fucking phone calls when you go to a new area, like yeah. Grand Theft Auto 2 or something.
Yeah.
Where someone's like, yeah, I'm the boss of this place and you get jobs through me. I'll text them to you.
That is so poorly implemented.
It sucks.
You're back, because like at this point, like I have a couple of vehicles. I'm just, I'm enjoying like just riding the motorbike around the city. Mm. But every time you get to a new area, I guess for the first time,
yeah.
you just get a random phone call from someone who you've never met before who's like, I give you jobs in this area, and I'm like, I have 20 side quests already yeah. that I don't really understand
and the
where
way,
they came from.
They're these fixes, like there's a reason kind of in quotes in the story, and then when you read the text message about the job they send you, there's some, you know, explanation for why, but every mission other than a select few that have had more effort put into them, you get just because you're near enough to where it happens,
yeah.
someone tells you, hey, there's a psycho here. And you can read more about why they were psycho and all of that stuff. But the actual mission is always just like, shoot this person or talk to them.
Mm.
Or like sometimes not even that much option. Like they're not very good and they're not very well presented.
I think they're good, but that's because I think I'm... It's tough with a game like this, right? Mm. Because you want them to give you the options of how to approach every mission with a certain level of flexibility, which means that they have to let you be able to run through with a shotgun if you want to play this type of character.
Like, they just haven't balanced it out, though, right. I don't think, where like...
Well, because I don't think you want them to force you to play as like a stealthy guy in half the missions or a third of them. Because it is a role-playing game. You want to be able to approach each mission as a crazy guy with a katana or a crazy guy with a shotgun or a hacker. Or
yeah.
If they give you those options and you gravitate towards one, is that the fault of the game? Or
well, I tried doing the stealth stuff, though, and it just wasn't very satisfying to me.
Right.
Because the AI felt bad. In a lot of ways where like I distract them and then they just like turn and go walk over the thing and just stand there. And it was just kind of flat.
I feel like the options provided are good ones, but I think the execution of most of them is a little subpar.
I agree with that.
But it's probably because they have tried to include so many, I guess. I don't know.
I also felt like the tutorials that I did were like a very clunky way of... Like, you literally go into a program
that's like,
here's the tutorial program,
yeah.
rather than having a seamless thing in the story where you're being taught to do it.
It makes sense for when you're going to replay it, which is what they intend. So
Of course. But it
makes sense in universe. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, this is sick. This is like The Matrix. This is what would happen in Cyberpunk. Mm. But in a broader storytelling or in a broader... way of telling stories, it is not very elegant.
That is kind of a big overall problem that I have with it, is the inelegance of it. Like
right.
the way that is presented, the inventory management, I really don't like having to go into a pause menu to sift through all the guns that you pick up. Just feels kind of a bit clunky. Like, and again, this is a console specific complaint. I'm sure it's completely different on a PC, but when you're in the map, you've got a legend, but you have no way of selecting stuff in that legend to just bring up where it is.
Right.
So, for example, you've got an icon for where your car is, but you can't go through the legend and just click the car and have it
snap to it. Yeah.
You literally have to just look through the map, through these hundreds of icons to find this tiny little car, and it just little things like that.
There's stuff like that
all
through it.
All kind of stack up. And for me, like... I still don't really know how much of this is just the technical side of it needing to be patched on the PS5, but I'm not really finding the world that immersive or mm-hmm. cohesive yet.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, you're right, Knox. I can see the edges. It yeah. feels right. like a tech demo. All the ads in the world don't look believable. They don't look like a real world. I don't believe that I'm in the future, and this is where advertising has gotten to. Every time I see an ad, I feel like I'm looking at someone's year 10 VizCom project where they've had to design an ad for a futuristic bubblegum.
Right. Because they don't look either way. They don't look stylized and cartoonish in a way that the whole game is or right. whatever. Mm. And they don't look... They look tacky in a way that isn't in-world. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Right. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're meant to be tacky. They're meant yeah. to be, look how sexed up all these ads are now and, like, isn't this a... But it's like a lame political cartoon version of the future. You know what I mean?
Right, that's a bit... Yeah, that's a great way of...
It's so yeah. on the nose yeah, that it just kind of sticks out. And then, like, the technical stuff of, like, if you're driving around and, like, yeah, there's people walking around, but if you look at them for too long, they start popping into existence in front of you. They start, like, disappearing if you turn slightly. They, right. like, people change... Like, the bugs and stuff on that level, I mean, all of the technical stuff is maybe a separate conversation.
Yeah.
Because well, even yeah. if this game didn't have any technical issues like that, maybe the AI is a technical issue, but I found that to be poor in like those combat-y or sneaky or whatever settings, which is why I just started shooting them because right. I was trying to do the sneaking around, but then there's not really... They're not well-designed levels in the way that these types of games often have, like a Dishonored or whatever, where, like, you know, always with those games, they're like, you can do what you want. It boils down to, like, do you want to go through a vent or shoot a person?
Right, right.
And so the structure of those games is often looser than the lofty idea anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this does an even kind of a subpar job in that genre.
Oh, I've felt it to be at least on par with that stuff. It's probably sure. not as... intelligently designed as something like a Dishonored 2, which I played recently and was like, oh yeah, but it's focused on stealth. It's like, right. we've thought about how to make it really hard but possible to figure out how to sneak through this entire level without getting caught.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, this Cyberpunk doesn't quite have that, but I've found it to have, like, yeah, if you want to hack this door and go through the back way, you can. Or if you have the technical knowledge to, like, open this other one or, like, climb through this vent or whatever, you can. Or if you want to go up to the front door and hack this guy's optics and then just walk straight past him and then there's a whole nother... Like, I've yeah. found that stuff to be present in the game to the extent that I have been able to utilize my different skills in, right. in a way that I find satisfying.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that's been not as satisfying for me about it is that it just looks like a stat check every time.
Right.
You know, there's no kind of creativity to what you're doing in the way that those games have at their best. That those types of games, like a Deus Ex, they don't even have it the whole way through any individual game, you
right
know? Like, but when those are at their best, it's like you came up with a solution right. to this puzzle
100%.
And yeah. I haven't felt that at all with this game.
Yeah, I think that I've felt it to an extent that I've been able to role play through it with side missions.
Yeah,
it's not really in the main missions, which are the best thing about this game, right? They're
from the story perspective. Yeah. And like for the yeah, absolutely.
They're fun. They're cinematic. I like you mentioned before, the writing is mostly really good or holds up to an extent of immersion.
Yeah.
I think it's like fantastic. Like I've been playing other like Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War.
Yeah.
Has like solid, cohesive cinematic writing, but it's very hacky and corny and tropey.
Yeah.
And this has some tropes and some corny stuff to it, but mostly it's like, I'm not taken out of the game by the dialogue, which is something that happens in most video games.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the story and the writing too.
Mm.
I think I'm 6 or 7 hours in.
Right.
And kind of my problem with it so far is, and again, like to go back to how the world feels to me, I'm just finding it looking a little kind of drab and plain, which I know is going to be hard when you're in like, when the setting is like a rundown city, a lot of which is a slum. But, you know, Final Fantasy VII is set largely in a slum, but it looks visually interesting. But I still feel like for being 7 hours in, I haven't really seen all that much of the world. Because typically an open world game will, in its early hours, it will do a lot to send you across the map. Mm. So it will be, hey, you need to go all the way over here to the other side of town, like drive over here, do this. It does a lot to kind of send you to all these different places to get a feel of it. This game hasn't really done that. Mm. It has a lot where you're sitting in a cab talking to someone, being driven around, and so far it all gets the missions there.
It's
that
a
are,
long game.
Yeah, so, I know, yeah. But like in these 7 hours is still a fair amount of time to have chucked into something to feel like I'm just in the one small part of the map. And the
I mean, this game, I think that like maybe is a criticism of pacing, which I do think that this game has problems with also like with how it gives you those missions, with how the main story progresses as well, because like characters will develop relationships a lot quicker than you than feels at all natural.
Yeah,
especially right. So there's, I don't want to be at all spoilery,
yeah,
but there's one character who you end up interacting with a lot,
mm-hmm.
who is like the becomes the second main character.
Sure.
It's Keanu Reeves. We all know, like, he's
I actually did not know that's who you were referring
to. I mean Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And the relationship between you and Keanu Reeves is underbaked. And
it's very
so
strange.
Core to the story.
When it's introduced, it's very late in the game, or like it's very deep into the game.
And that works really well from like I think like it's a cool narrative thing that they do at some point.
But you meet him, it's very, and this is as vague as possible, it begins very antagonistically, and then it sort of softens in like 20 minutes. It's very strange
it's
pacing
crazy.
To that. Yeah.
It's and it feels like you've skipped a part or something.
That's happened a few times to me. It feels like with the pacing of the game, I find that the overall pacing of this main narrative is good because I've settled into the character. I've figured out how to play the game. I've developed some relationships and started to, sort of figure out how I want to approach the story.
I really like the stuff with Arasaka and with all the, there's some really, really cool stuff going on in that story.
And you sort of get the feeling because that stuff was sort of in the periphery in the very early stages of the game and it comes to the fore. There's probably going to be other stuff that does that too, and I feel like it's been done very well, but the sort of moment to moment pacing, or like maybe mission to mission, is crazy. Like Jackie Wells is a character, he's been in all the trailers, all of that shit. The way that you develop the relationship with him is bizarre.
It's so weird.
It's really weird.
You meet him like 10 minutes into the game, whichever way you start. That's another problem, is that those three starts, meaningless.
Yeah.
They're really fucking
very disappointing.
Lame from what they were presented. It doesn't change anything really about the actual story.
Yeah.
Doesn't change how your character is. Just sometimes you'll have an extra bit of dialogue of like, yeah, I used to ride motorbikes out in the wilderness, and they'll be like, all right, shut up.
Yeah.
Or like, I used to work for a corporation. Okay, let's get back to it.
Before I forget it, my biggest issue with this game, because the technical stuff I've been able to avoid, my biggest issue, really my only issue that I am not overlooking at this point, because like I love enough about this game that I'm overlooking a lot of the problems.
Right.
But the big thing that I really want them to fix is all the stuff that ties into how effectively you can role play in this game.
Mm.
And there's so many areas that are lacking. You can't customize your character after you've created them, which is like if you start as a nomad, you want to like maybe create a character who's like a bit of a dirtbag, but once they move to the big city, you'd probably want to get a haircut and stuff.
Right.
The fact that you can't like use that initial backstory to develop a character and then change them as the game continues is just bizarre.
I mean, it doesn't change your personality at all, which is a grating personality that this character has, and it is so fully formed in the same way that Geralt was, or, you know, that type of thing, where it's just you're playing as a pre-cooked character and the dialogue choices aren't like, oh, I want to be, you know, and these can be underdone sometimes because it's like, I want to be nice or I want to be a dick often. But you don't even have that.
No.
It's like, I'm going to be a dick, but
or
about which subject first?
I'm going to ask an extraneous question or get right to the point is basically the only role play you can do in dialogue.
It feels like with this game, and this happens like with pretty much any massive AAA hyped up open world game, people are looking to it to really change the way they play games and be this really different and, you know, genre busting experience, forgetting that it's essentially, it's a blockbuster holly, it's, you know, it's the Avengers. You're not going to go and get you're going to have a fun time, but you're not going to get this thing that changes the way that stories are told and really what the experience is. I mean, it kind of was a lot of with Red Dead 2, right? Like there was this same level of hype leading into it about feeling like it was going to be this like insanely different experience. And it had little neat different things here and there. But at the end of the day, it's an open world game with a cool story and great writing and an interesting environment. And this is kind of the same. I think people got swept up in the character creation stuff being and the choices that you would get and the way that the world was going to be presented. People really got swept up in thinking that this was going to be this big revolution, and it's not.
Mm. No, and I think that happened to some people. I think that more... what has happened is that this hasn't lived up to the last game they did.
Right.
Was doing the same sort of thing. The Witcher 3 was way better at a lot of the stuff I have a problem with in this game.
Sure,
where
the
world would give you quests in a natural way where, I mean, it'd be someone fucking standing on the street being like, I need a Witcher.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same thing. But then you'd run into people out in somewhere and they'd be like, hey, can you help me with this? And I've got a reason for this and let's have some dialogue. And then you go do the dumb mission. But this is like getting a text message and reading through it on a page where like the bottom of the text splits off to the side of the page because it's fucking broken. Like it just saps away. Even if that text is interesting and there has been somewhere it's like, oh, this happened and this happened. You're like, yeah, but you just wrote that. Like it's not in the game.
The problem I feel like with this game, and hey, this is a wild take, too ambitious, this game.
Right.
It's fallen because like... Skyrim, I love Skyrim. Lots of people love Skyrim. It's like, you know, the highest selling game of all time, probably across platforms. But what it lacks is a really well-written main story.
Mm.
And Cyberpunk has that. But what Skyrim had was a genuinely interesting emergent world where stuff like that, like in The Witcher you mentioned, Nox, would happen. Or you could genuinely create your own character.
Yeah.
You had a bunch of dialogue options. You could make your character look however you wanted, change it. Like, it was a really good role-playing game.
Mm.
And Cyberpunk is lacking in a lot of those role-playing aspects. But it has a lot better story than something like that.
It's so weird. They've
fallen right in the middle.
Really,
it turns out, not the best way to fall.
And I kind of find myself wishing that it wasn't first person, because this is my other big problem with the presentation. And as much as I'm really enjoying the story, and it is a very cinematic story, but I hate that it all happens in this first person perspective where when you're in basically a cutscene, you're just looking at it from this first person perspective.
Right.
I kind of find myself wishing that it would just cut to a cinematic and just let that play out, because I find that I find myself less... Weirdly enough, less invested in it because I'm watching it from a first-person perspective. Like
that's at least just a taste thing.
That's absolutely a matter of taste, but that's just what I think that would make me be enjoying it a lot more at this juncture if I was getting these actual cinematic moments presented as a cinematic moment instead of... You know, a guy was talking at me and I was looking around the table and I was like, oh, yeah, that pizza is really low res. Well, it just gives you more chance to focus on the stuff that's...
The thing with the ambition of this game too, I don't think it even is very ambitious.
Right.
Like, it is trying to do something that has been done well a number of times.
Right.
Red Dead and The Witcher 3, like, Red Dead is a crazy high-budget game made by a really talented development team, so it's not fair to hold everything to that standard.
Right.
But the last game they made was better at doing the things that I have a problem with in this game.
Right.
So
right.
It really seems like this just fucking got away from them somehow.
And The Witcher has atmosphere, which, again, I don't really feel like I'm getting in this. And, again, like, in these big combat shooting moments... one of the big things you'd associate with cyberpunk and science fiction genre is the score and this, like, I thought, here we go, here's an opportunity for some cool synthy music. Every time I've been in a gunfight, the music that has kicked in has felt more like the most recent Doom games than it has cyberpunk. I've kind of really felt in combat moments, and again, this is just a matter of taste, that the music to me is just kind of off stylistically from what this should be, and it makes me feel like I'm playing Doom, but it doesn't feel as good to shoot as Doom games do.
I found the music really good.
Okay. Yeah, I've liked the music.
Again, that's just purely taste.
And I do think, like, it's punk. Cyberpunk is punk as a genre. It's not just the 80s synthwave. Like, it's in there, and like I do like the radio stations has a pretty broad variety of music. It does have sort of like techno and synth and sort of heavier punk. I've liked the music in the missions as well, Not necessarily the genre. I think you're right. It gets a little sort of thrashy.
Yeah.
But I've liked the atmosphere that it brings. It does raise the tension for me at least. Mm.
Yeah. I've thought the music, like even just like the main menu theme and stuff, is pretty good.
Yeah. The map music is kind of weird. And cool.
And the music that's on the radio and the cars and that sort of stuff I've been enjoying. But just the experience of driving around, the whole open world part of it is not great because the world itself has interesting places to look, to what you were saying before. Mm. Like, I've gone around the map now.
Right.
Because I played it for maybe 30 hours or something like that. And there's a couple of missions that send you all over there. I was like, oh, I'll do these missions because I'll get to see everything. And there are bits of it that look really nice. Like I say, kind of as a photo mode thing, because when you're moving around them, there's nothing to fucking do. And all the traffic looks like dog shit. And they're all driving really weirdly. Like, everything seems so unnatural and so pre-baked and crappy. Like, it just seems completely unfinished, like so many parts of this game.
Yeah.
There's nothing that kind of happens while you're out there other than these missions being given to you in the most, like, it really feels like at some point they were like, ah, fuck, well, we don't have time to do that, so we just need to get someone to call you. Doesn't matter. Like, there's so much patchwork, it feels like, going on in this game.
The way the phone calls are presented too, where you see a picture of them just statically head moving. Is
like a
just
fucking when you click on a character in StarCraft. It just seems really shitty.
So I agree, but I don't agree about is, well, my experience of the game is that it does have atmosphere and I like a lot of this stuff.
Right.
But it's because it's to my taste.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's done, in my opinion, to the best way it could be done. Like, I would have loved like little cutscene or meeting moments where you come across these fixes when you head into a new part of city or, you know, whatever.
Or just having the story that is contained in the the text of that be actually conveyed to you in a way that didn't make it feel like you were just sort of like banging on this thing from the outside looking in, kind of.
But I think, what is there is enough to my taste, where, like, it's reminding me of, like, in Metal Gear Solid, the first one, where you just have this low-res thing of, like, you know, this guy chatting to you, or, like, super old sci-fi games that I used to play, or even, like, text-based games, books I've read, like, this is all stuff that relates to my taste in media in general.
Sure.
Which is why the next gen video game aspects of it not being present are not as much of an issue for me. But like, fuck, if they fixed all this stuff, then I'd be even more happy.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of it seems like it's a long way away from being fixed. Because apart from even like the glaring stuff, which we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's chapter two of this review.
Right. There's so much of it that feels really unfinished, from even if the flat out that's a bugs weren't there. It's still often jarring the way that you get in and out of these missions, the side things, you know? Like, they're not presented in as natural of a way as their last game did it.
Right.
And so I'm kind of comparing this to The Witcher 3, because I think that's fair, because it's same genre of game. It's like an open world thing.
Yep.
Obviously very different in terms of how they actually play and like the combat and stuff. But the world is just such a huge step back from the last one they did that that has really taken me by surprise.
I feel too, like you said, it's overly ambitious. And I kind of think they've just been a bit fucked over by the time frame that this happens to be coming out
it's
in, where they've
ideal.
Had to develop. If this,
I mean,
had
they've
come
been
out,
making it for years though,
sure,
you know?
But if this was a different, if this was, if they'd started 2 years earlier and if this was releasing 2 years earlier,
I mean,
only
it was,
on
it was meant
gen.
To be releasing 6 months earlier at least.
Yeah.
You know, like,
sure, but I mean, if they were releasing it in a time before the PlayStation 5 and the Series X were in the conversation, then I think it's a much different game. If they're developing it only for the PlayStation 4, or if it had come out in a year's time, a year and a half's time, where they're only developing it for the PlayStation 5, because that's a big part of the problem that they've run into, right? They're developing it for a high-end PC.
Yeah.
And they just completely forgot about the PS4 version. But the PS4 version is like, that's the one that you're seeing ads for on the trams and stuff like that. That's the one that's being
Xbox
pushed.
One
well, the Xbox
even.
One,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's the one you're seeing pushed more heavily. And I do feel really bad for anyone who went in and thought, great, this PS4 game is out. I'm looking forward to this. This is my one game for the next 3 months, and by all accounts are having an utterly unplayable experience. Like, I'm playing the PS4 version on a PS5, And I'm not really having those. I'm getting bugs here and there, but I feel like I'm just getting away with it. And it does crash on me constantly as I'm playing it.
And I think that isn't necessarily something that's happened to them through an unfortunate timing. That is their fault, I think. Like the development of this game.
This happened with The Witcher 3 as well, right? Mm. Like it.
Well, that didn't come out on console day and date, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I think maybe I'm misremembering that, and that's The Witcher 2 I'm thinking of. But like the same thing happened with every one of their games they've ever released, where it came out on PC, it was fucking buggy, and months later they were like, no, it actually exists.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but like they were developing this going like, hey, day one there'll be a PS4 version, an Xbox One version, and they had like a all hands board meeting thing that's got a transcription of it, and literally their reasoning for why the versions on the consoles they had been developing it for were bad is because they were like, oh, we didn't put much time into it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that obviously it makes shit harder for them, but I don't think it's like, I don't feel like it's a reason to explain it away.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Okay.
From what I've read about the other games they've made and this one, they developed it for high end PCs, which makes sense.
But then the high end PC version is also fucked.
Well, it's not for me. I've had a pretty much. Well, I had one issue.
Yeah.
With my first playthrough of this game on PC, which was fixed when I updated my NVIDIA drivers, and since then I've had, I would say, literally no problems with it. It's run perfectly.
No bugs and shit.
I've had one T-pose.
Characters are doing that all the time for a bit. They're sliding around the place. And right. I've got a good PC. It's got like a 2070 Super in it, which is like maybe it's good.
It's better than I've got a 1070.
Right. And so I've got a thing that should be able to run this really well. And like it's smooth and like I can turn ray tracing on and it looks nice and it runs fine. Like, it's not having the thing of, like, getting fucking 13 frames a second or whatever, like, on an Xbox. That's not the issue. It's that the game itself is fucked. The characters' mouths don't move plenty. And, like, I'm aware that these bugs are in there, so maybe I'm more prone to notice them. Because and that, I think, is part of the thing with what we were talking about before, where maybe those things that are taking me out of, like, oh, I can notice that the AI is bad here is because I'm aware that is an issue with the game, and so I'm picking up on it. But like cars and people populating in just while you're looking at them, just pop, literally popping into screen. Shit that I wish I was recording. Like,
did you install it on a SSD?
Yeah, it's on an NVMe thing in the bizarre. Like, and it's not the textures.
Yeah,
it's literally entire people. You can see that there's a point here on this pavement where they've said when you're X amount away, we're allowed to pop something in here.
Right.
But it's broken, so it does it while you're looking at it.
Right. Yeah,
there's not enough cars on the road to make it seem normal on like the highways and shit. Just stuff like that. That is like, you can see what they meant for this to look like, and it doesn't look like that.
Yeah, I haven't. In between playing, I've been going on Reddit and reading people's complaints and positive reviews. I put out a couple of tweets and a Facebook status to ask our listeners what they think of the game, and it's been mostly positive for people who can run the game.
Yeah.
With like, yeah, there are some bugs, but it's a great world. I'm like, because a lot of people, I guess, are like me and have this taste for this specific genre.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they've bought the game, I guess. And are looking past the bugs. But yeah, like I keep seeing these laundry lists of like the AI doesn't work, or the cops spawn.
The cops are fucked. They just pop in underneath you and blow your car into the air.
Yeah, none of this happens for me. I don't see any people popping in. Like, all the streets are populated at all the times. Like I am driving around my car and I'm not being like, oh, there's only four cars on the road instead of 10. Like, I just don't notice any of this
stuff. I would guess that it's because you're not noticing rather than it not happening, because we're running the same version of the game, obviously. Yeah. And like, because it is enough for me that like I've gotten like spawned my car somewhere, it's a bit stuck in the ground, I've gone, haha, that's funny, gotten in, and then, oh, I can't drive and I can't get out now because I'm low to save. Like, things popping in and like especially with summoning the cars, it's kind of funny. Like, most of the things aren't breaking it, and I haven't had a crash once.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's enough stuff where, like, there's an effect you get when Johnny Silverhand shows up, and then that effect just wouldn't stop.
Yes, right. While I was walking around. That was something in the game. Like a mission thing. Like, oh, I guess it. I kind of thought, oh, my vision in the game now is just like this forever.
Oh, sure.
And then it crashed. I restarted it, had to start the start of the mission again, and it was gone.
Exactly.
Right. And this is the thing, is like, I'm getting little glitchy things here and there, like someone sitting at a desk talking to me, and then they're up on the roof, and then they're back in the chair.
A guy jamming a burger in his face, and like instead of eating it, someone sliding out of the restaurant. I just like 10 things happened while I was having that conversation with someone in a diner.
Right.
And I was just like, this game's fucked.
Yeah. And it's nothing. Because
see,
like,
I spent that entire scene like looking around going, holy shit, you can see the pores of this guy's skin.
Yeah.
Like, and like what, taking screenshots of like the, because I do think the ads are like, in universe appropriate. Like, there are cyberpunk media things that I don't like because they are too edgy. Like, is it Transmetropolitan? Is the comic?
Yeah.
Warren Ellis, is that right?
Yeah.
I tried to read it. I had it recommended to me by a bunch of people, and I found it to be what you find the ads in this game to be. Like, just edgy and juvenile and trying too hard.
I don't find them distasteful. I find them lame.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What I mean. Like, it's like I'm seeing that in the writing of this comic and finding it lame and a bit, you know.
Or just, they just look unprofessional.
I mean,
Tommy was
just
saying.
Aesthetically as well. Right, they don't look like, it's
they're
like,
poorly
this
made.
This is 50 years in the future. This isn't what advertising would look like.
Right, yeah. Sure.
It looks cheap. It looks like designed in about 3 seconds in Photoshop. It's an aesthetic complaint for me.
And it's not like it's a part of the effect that it's like, hey, look at this. They would have shat it out in 3 seconds. Like, it's not like that's a part of the... Like, that TV show that's always on, it looks shitty.
Right.
The animation looks shitty. And, like, even when the animations are working in this, they can look shitty sometimes. Mm. When you grab someone, they're always clipping through my face.
Right.
Like, the shadow stuff being really pixelated is one I'm getting a lot on the
that's
PS5.
That's been fine on the PC.
But again, like, these little glitches of people, I haven't had too... I mean, I haven't played it for nearly as long as you, Nox, but I haven't had as many issues of people slipping around. I've had the odd one here and there, and I'm constantly feeling like, you know, it's crashed, I think, 4 times on me. And, you know, it's fine. It's easy to restart. I'm not having any, you know, I'm not having it be unplayable like it seems to be on a PS4.
Yeah.
But when you feel like at any moment you're going to see a little glitch, part of why you're playing a game like this is you want to be immersed in the world. And it's those little things that all stack up that mean that I'm not feeling like I'm engaged in the world. I feel like I'm looking at a very expensive piece of tech that I'm barely getting away with running. And it just completely takes me out of the world. And so last night I was playing it and it crashed. And I thought, I can't be fucked reopening this. I'm going to play a bit of Red Dead 2. I went in and started playing that again last week while I was waiting for this to install or download or whatever it was, because I never finished that epilogue.
Yeah.
And I've been hooked right into it again, and going back in and just seeing how beautiful this game looks and how all these systems in this game work so well, and it's cinematic in all those ways that I'm enjoying. And then I remembered when I started playing Red Dead 2, I didn't like that. Like, it took me a long time to gel with that as well. So I'm like, well, maybe I'm just going to end up having the same experience with Cyberpunk, where it's not what I want it to be at the moment, but it, when I settle into it a bit more. But it is hard to settle into when you've got these issues that are just constantly kind of like taking you out of the experience and reminding you that, like, yeah, this thing shouldn't be running. This is this is an abomination of God. It's just crawling along the ground going, please kill me.
Yeah, but I got the Akira bike, so it's fucking sick. But I was going to say, I didn't play The Witcher 3 until it had been released for like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And even then, I didn't get into it, and I tried it again, I think, a year or 18 months later, and then I got into it and loved it.
Mm.
And it was a seamless technical experience.
Right.
It was flawless. It was beautiful. Like, it was visually stunning. It was, the audio mixing was great. I was fully immersed in that world. But if you played that game on day one, it might have been, or was, a different experience.
Yeah, and there are parts of this that they can fix. Like, part of this is us talking about how it is to play now, but it won't be relevant in however long.
Right.
But there are enough elements of this that seem permanent as well that I'm like, that's just, it's... Like, specifically with a lot of the sites, because the story is good when you're in it, the bits that make it make you kind of at arm's length from the story because it's just in a text or it's been given to you because you went near enough to a marker that's on your map for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no reason for you to have this big exclamation mark here.
That's
but
a bit
when
weird.
You go near there, you get a call being like, hey, the cops have found someone who's stuck in an apartment. I reckon she might be a cop too. I don't know what's going on.
Mm.
And like, when they're good, they're good. There's one where you just like have a conversation with a depressed guy and it's nice.
Right.
It's well written and I enjoyed the experience of being in it, but it's all the bits around it where, like, you know, if you've got a nice plush room in the middle of a hovel, you're not going to want to go to the nice room because you know you've got to wade through all this muck to get there. And there's enough of that muck that it's I'm still enjoying it. I played it for 30. I intend to continue playing it for more,
right?
But they're, it's real fucking sketchy right now.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's like with The Witcher, I hated the combat,
right?
And I still think that it's not good combat.
Yeah.
But I overlooked it because of the other stuff in it. And I feel
like...
I
think I did too, yeah.
Probably I would struggle to see a future in which Cyberpunk 2077 doesn't have those, you know, sharp edges polished off to the point where it's sort of in the same position as The Witcher 3, where there are, you know, issues with this game that are probably related to, yeah, a lack of depth or a lack of thought put into or time put into them.
And design elements that I think would need a real overworking, that even if you scratched out just the glitches and the bugs and the performance and all that stuff, it's not the perfect version of the what game is presented right now. Still is like a 7 or 8 out of 10, like a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
But with like the same sort of flaws that heaps of other open world games like Assassin's Creed and shit have.
Yes.
I think you summed it up really well the other day, Ben. We were discussing how we want to tackle our Game of the Year episode and how we want to... And I was sort of saying, when it comes to talking about Cyberpunk, you know, we're going to talk about it this week. We're probably going to talk about it more next week and then potentially we do our Game of the Year. Well, if it is on any of our lists, like, do we really need to talk about it more after talking... You know, just how do we tackle this? And you said, well, you know, to each their own, but I kind of feel like... You know, it's an absolutely fine thing to just go Cyberpunk will probably be on my 2021 end of year list because that's when it is. It's a 2021 release, like by the time the patch is out, by the time the PS5 version's out. I think the PS5 version is going to be really good once it's got those edges sanded off. And that really made me think of it in a completely different way. It's like we're playing it feels like we're playing a beta.
100%.
Playing open access.
And we're at least visually, I'm playing the PS5 version basically on this PC. Like it's got the ray tracing on and stuff and it looks nice and the reflections look fucking cool. It really adds to it having like, it's such a, having the bright signs reflected in a puddle is what Cyberpunk is.
Like I just was walking down an alleyway last night in the game and stopped and was like, I can see everything like from this building at the end of this street reflected in the puddle in the ground in front. It's fucking insane.
When you get that ray tracing shit, baby, it really cranks that shit up to mama own. But like,
it's my least favorite character in Cyberpunk. It's really poorly written.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if you made the character called that.
But yeah, just like I can't visualize what the fixed version of this game, how it improves the thing that I feel more fundamental with.
Right.
I look forward to that not be like, I want to play this game again in a year as well to see what's different. But there's enough about it that seems unchangeable or at least without really fucking changing it.
Yeah.
That, you know, the best version of the game they've released now is like...
It's still like an 8.5.
A pretty good open world game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for
me... With patches of a much better written story.
Sure,
which deserves shouting out. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that my vision of the best version of this game is now a linear game.
Right.
In the style of a Dishonored where it's like a little bit branchy, but it's like, just give us the thing that you worked on as the actual product.
Like, we talk, I mean, No Man's Sky, it's bizarre. It hasn't come up yet. But we did talk about how if that had a curated, you know, limited world made by this team, Hello Games, it probably would have been better. It would have been more enjoyable. It would have had more detail as opposed to it being this big sprawling thing that was kind of empty. It feels like that, could have worked here.
And the response to the game has been over the top in that way too, where like, it's still just a game and whatever. I think that there's a separate conversation we should have now as well about like being misled and all that sort of shit. But yeah, just worth saying this, that there's never a case where you should show as much venom as being shown towards the people who made this game.
Yeah, of course. I mean, not that this is a justification, but I think this is a rare one where, yeah, sometimes things just don't stack up to what's shown in a tech demo at E3 5 years before. And that's kind of like, well, yeah, things change. And then there's this where the version that is, like we said, advertised on buses and trains as being available on the Xbox One, and then you get it and it basically doesn't run. Mm. It's like, yeah, that's yeah, get a refund. Yes. Just get a refund. Yeah, don't go on Twitter. Because, that is really shitty that they've released it to market for $100 in that state.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable. It really, it's not just like little bugs and like, I feel like on PS5, I don't feel like I'm getting an optimized experience. I just feel like I'm getting the experience that you should get on a PS4.
Right.
Running at 60 frames a second maybe rather than 30, but it should run at 30 on a
PS4. Yeah, 30 on a PS4. Yeah.
But it's like, we haven't tried it out on the base consoles.
No.
But having looked at a bunch of footage from like Digital Foundries and stuff who have no bug to bear with it, you know what I mean? Is that how you, can you say that?
It's a bug bear.
Axe to grind. You know, you get those YouTube compilations where it's like, oh, well, you've fucking cherry picked the worst possible. But like,
they're just doing actual hardware testing. Yeah.
And across the board, the games don't run in a way. They part that. So in that like board meeting they had, the question was asked, how did these pass certification?
Mm.
And they said, it's because Sony and Microsoft thought we were going to fix it with the
day one
patch. Yeah, I
read that. Yeah.
So like, and they deliberately held back footage and review copies and all that stuff because they knew that these versions of the game didn't run like a game needs to run.
Yeah.
And hid that fact to keep selling them, which...
It's insane.
It's like, really gross. And their reasoning was we didn't put enough work into them.
Yeah. Seems like at this point, with not even hindsight, they knew this.
Yeah.
They should have just released the PC version. They should have delayed the console versions again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Have more time to be working on just them.
Yes.
Not these eight great different fix. Consoles and like, in tandem.
Yeah, if you have an older PC or like a graphics card without ray tracing, the PC version is not going to be perfect. But if you do, people would be sharing these beautiful screenshots and clips and loving the game that has been released.
It looks fine without ray tracing too. It looks good without ray tracing still.
So I bought a new graphics card.
Oh, really?
After I've been playing it for a few days.
Yeah.
Because I was like, fuck, what I want
a 30 whatever?
A 3060 Ti.
Right. I think they're the only ones you can get your hands on.
I believe
at the
Yeah. But I played it for 4 or 5 days with just my 1070.
Yeah.
It looked great and it ran perfectly. But I think it's probably because... Yeah, my system was sort of going, well, this is what we can handle, so this is what we're going to do.
Yeah,
it was great.
Customize it to, you know, it's a PC game. You can make it look you can make it look medium so that it runs well.
But it still
looks good at the medium settings and shit.
I had it on Ultra. That was the weird thing. I feel like, I guess, you know, ray tracing is the thing that takes up most of the processing power. But I had it on Ultra on like a 1070. I got 12 gig of RAM. I had it on an SSD and it looked great. And it ran great.
And I think that in a vacuum, it looks really good.
Yeah.
The photos. There's something about it in motion where I guess because like the driving controls on a keyboard fucking suck.
Yeah, not ideal.
I've played it with a controller as well, but then the shooting fucking sucks.
Yep.
So you really, unless you want to switch between both, which crazy things have happened.
Sure.
But yeah.
I've gotten used to the driving, but it's as with... Like,
there's the thing that's fucking pissing me off. Are you playing on a keyboard?
Yeah.
The double tapping to dash?
Yeah.
And if you're trying to crouch around slowly, you want to inch forward because there's no walk button.
Yeah, I've done a few.
And you accidentally fucking jump up and dash and you're like, hey, everyone, I'm here.
I had this great one where I was trying to sneak through this room. There was a guy sort of like over near the door and I was like, okay, I'm going to sneak from this bit of cover to this desk near him.
Yeah.
And instead, I launched myself directly at his face and like I was like, okay, I'm just going to shoot this guy in the head. And But it's like, well, I guess that was fun.
Yeah.
Because if you double tap either of any of the directions, you dash and there's no way to turn that off and there's no walk button.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that where it's like, you didn't test this game much, did you? And like,
yeah.
And they've said that they didn't.
Yes.
Because COVID happened was part of it, but also like fucking hell.
Yeah.
But then also, yeah, I mean, look, we better wrap this up in a second, but yeah, then there's other things that it's like you can't explain away with COVID and no excuse can. Like the epilepsy thing is just absolutely insane.
We haven't even gotten to that. We haven't gotten to like the maybe distasteful fucking things about social issues. I don't know how to quickly say that. And we have it because you need more time with that stuff to let it sit to properly analyze that stuff.
Well, let's wrap it up now. I guess we'll have a little more to say about it next week. Yeah. Probably I'm going to put more time into it and yeah, kind of hope that it galvanizes a little more. Because at the end of the day, in spite of having focused largely on my negative thoughts about it, I still don't really know how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I like enough of what it's doing well to kind of want to persevere, but then I sit down to do it and I'm excited to do it and then a thing pops up and I just go, I can't be fucked with this.
Right.
Yeah, I think because we've talked about it so much, it's worth summing up. Like, if you've got a PS4 or an Xbox One, don't get this game yet.
Yeah.
If you've got a good PC and don't care, like want to play it now, then it's a pretty good open world game to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
and
still I think, wait though. Like,
I
honestly,
think there's
maybe
no
still
harm
wait.
In waiting. Yeah. Because they will fix it. I'm pretty confident in saying because they've done it with the other three games they've published. So it's fucking absurd that we didn't expect this to happen again.
Right.
Yeah. Whoa. All right. We'd better wrap this
That's
up.
That's the end of podcast alarm. Tommy's door went off.
My door went off. All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to our socials, our Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week, and the premium Bandcamp episodes, the YouTube channel, all that stuff. Thanks very much for listening, as we say here at the end of every episode.
Tommy's got a package.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.